In The Lord of the Rings, the evil Grimmer Wormtongue whispers lies into the ears of the King of Rohan. He's just like Satan, who whispers lies into our ears. His goal? To make us ineffective as soldiers in the battle for truth. The shield of faith is what we need when beset with thoughts like, I'm no good, I can't live for God, it's too hard. Today, learning to use your shield. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on the Invisible War. We're learning about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, and we've come to the shield of faith, a crucial weapon when Satan the accuser comes knocking.
You know, I'm told that out in the wild, bull moose will fight over a herd, and once they win the battle, they never fight again. The loser simply submits. It's a major contest, and if the loser loses, as losers do, he's finished. That's what Satan wants. You've fought that problem long enough, and look at that. God hasn't helped you. You've prayed about it. Give up. I am going to control your life at this point. Don't fight anymore. And that's what he does as his arrows of doubt, his arrows of self-hatred, his arrows of unforgiveness come against your soul. You see, that's why we need the shield of faith. Because Satan says God can't help you, and even if he can, he doesn't care. Resign yourself to the fact that God is not on your side. You know, what that does is it blots out God and his promises. Isn't it amazing that you could take a coin, maybe a dime or a quarter, and you could hold it up to your eye, and it blots out the entire light of the sun. Satan says, I want to give you enough arrows to blot out God's promises, to disbelieve him, and to give you credible reasons why you should not trust him. And when he does that, the shield of faith has fallen. So the next question we have to answer, obviously, is how do we take it up? You'll notice that the Bible says here in verse 16, take up the shield of faith. Take it up. How do you pick it up? And the reason that I think it is so important for us to understand, number one, we need the help of others to do it. Remember I told you about those Roman shields? They were all hooked together. They were linked together. And there were times when one soldier couldn't go up against the enemy, but unitedly, they could. There are some of you here with huge problems personally. Huge problems. And you can't pick up the shield probably on your own. Because here's what happens. When you drop the shield of faith, let me tell you what else you immediately drop. You immediately drop all hope. And once hope is gone, there's very little left, isn't there? Once you give up hope, that is really a bad way to go. Instead of love in your heart, there is now cynicism. Cynicism against God and cynicism against others. And so you become very cynical because the shield has been dropped into the dust. What you find is that instead of peace in your heart, as we mentioned last week, instead of that, what do you have? You have fear. You have huge bolts of fear going through your body. And you cannot anticipate the future. You can't even give your future to God because you don't trust him. The shield of faith has fallen. You know, we need the help of others. And that's why we have here at the Moody Church what we call the TMC communities, the Moody Church communities. You should join a small group, whether it's a community or whether it's our small group ministry. Don't think that you can manage on your own, even if you're doing well in the Christian life. We just cannot do it without one another. One day, over in Colorado, I was doing a series of seminars, and someone else was doing seminars as well. He was a man who was giving seminars on how men could overcome pornography. He had had that problem in his own life, and God taught him some things, and so he was sharing it with others. I didn't have a chance to attend his seminars, but I did have lunch with him because I said, you know, I can't go to your seminars, but give me just the bottom line. I was expecting him to say something like, well, you know, there's this truth in the book of Romans that really is the answer, or some verse that others had overlooked. He surprised me. He said the healthiest way to overcome pornography is through a series of friendships, friendships that are open and honest and healthy. And he says that's the way in which a relationship is established with other men, where there can be honesty, where there can be prayer for one another. He said that's the way to do it. And I thought to myself, that's very interesting. It's just like God to make sure that we can't live the Christian life alone, because he wants us to be connected. I'm so glad for the announcement that was given regarding our men's ministry, how desperately we need that as men. And you see, what happens is we always drop the shield when we're alone. Isn't that true? Isn't it being alone that you drift off into these huge problems, and you live there, and you disconnect yourself from others, and you disconnect yourself from talking to others, and shame oftentimes drives people there? And we have to create an atmosphere where shame does not hold people bound. Because Jesus, the Bible says, on the cross, he despised the shame. He overcame the shame. So in all honesty, in all openness, in all recognition that as fallen human beings, we all have problems and we all have struggles and temptations, we need to, in this church, create an atmosphere where it's okay to say that I struggle. And we need to struggle together, holding up one another's shields of faith by which we will be able to prove that Satan's arrows are nothing but smoldering lies. We need to do that together. So first of all, we need one another. Let me give you a second truth that is very important. We need to review what God has said. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say to yourself, well, I don't have much faith. You know, my shield has been thrown in the dust long ago. Long ago, I've given up on prayer. I've given up on God. I've been so disappointed in the fact that he hasn't answered my prayers. He hasn't come through. I prayed that he'd heal somebody, and he didn't heal somebody that I was praying for. And so I'm kind of on furlough, like one man told me on the plane. He said, I'm on furlough of living the Christian life. The shield of faith is in the dust. What we need to do is to renew ourselves in the promises of God. Every single day we read the Bible and we do not put it down until we have found something, until we have found something that we can take with us throughout the day. This past week I was reading 1 Corinthians, and every day as I read a chapter, I didn't put my Bible down until I said, now, what is the truth that I'm going to take with me? A promise that can be believed, a prayer that I can pray, a truth that should transform me today. And so what we do is we build the Word of God into our lives, and we recognize that the more we learn, the more we know, the more scriptures we memorize, the more faith is built into our lives. And then we begin to realize that all around us we may look and there's no evidence of God's care. It was C.S. Lewis who said this. Faith, you know, is very precious to God, by the way. Without faith, we can't please God. The Bible says in 1 Peter, in fact, that it is our faith that is to the honor and the glory of God at his appearing. I personally want to have something for the honor and the glory of Jesus at his appearing, and I pray that I'll have some faith. Now, he gives us the faith through his word, so it's all, actually all of God. But C.S. Lewis said, "There is no faith that so honors God," and I'm paraphrasing, "there's no faith that so honors God than the person who looks around and sees no reason to believe in God's care, sees no reason to trust Him, and yet goes on believing God's bare word anyway. The person who does that has the shield of faith, and Satan sends those arrows, and they hit the shield, and they fall to the ground." Now, so what we need is one another. We need to review what God has said. We need to uncover the lies we have believed. In an ideal world, it would be wonderful if after this message I could give an invitation and ask people to come to a certain room, and most of our rooms are all taken after this, and so I would like to counsel you as a group, or if I were counseling you as an individual, we talk about the lies that you have believed. What is it that you have believed about God that is a lie? What is it that you have believed about sin that is a lie? And some of you who are skirting all this would have to face it directly and to say, what is it that I have believed that is not biblical? You have to identify those lies. Yes, my friend, all of us are prone to believing lies. This is Pastor Lutzer. So glad that you have joined us for this series of messages. But as I conclude today, let me continue to counsel you personally. Why don't you take a moment and jot down the lies that you've believed? Have you believed that God doesn't care about you because of your sickness, because of the circumstances of life that are against you, because of a family that is coming apart? Have you believed the lie that God doesn't care? That's a lie. Have you believed the lie that sin is better than walking in righteousness because sin is best for you at this point? It's better than following in God's way? Well, that, of course, is a lie. As a matter of fact, it was Luther who said that we never choose to sin, but that we think wrongly about God. We choose to sin because we think our way is better than God's. It's a lie. What lies have you believed? The lie that you cannot be at peace with all of the circumstances of life swirling around you? Then what you and I need to do is to confess these lies to God. And we need to go to His Word and hang on to His promises, to cleave to them and to believe them in such a way that we will not be moved. Well, my friend, that's what I hope you and I will do today. And I look forward to seeing you next time right here on Running to Win as we continue to learn how to battle Satan.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of his message on The Shield of Faith, the fifth of seven in a series on The Invisible War. Tomorrow, more practical ways to put your shield of faith to use every day. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on the invisible war can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible war. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.